San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Live. Tonight we have a special show. Joining me will be award-winning model and actress Tracy Birdsall. So you know her, I am sure, by some of her works, and one of those is Family Ties. And former model, gone actress now, we're going to find out all about her past, what has brought her up to the place that she's at now, and some of the really neat, exciting things that is going on in her life. So I'm really excited about talking to her, bringing her on, and getting the show started, talking to Tracy. But before we do that, you know, I want to know, I'm really kind of curious of knowing how many of you folks just are with me here and would like to, on the subject of the phone company, I'm not going to say any names, but you know who we're talking about. How many of you would just like to just hang up on them? I'm just wondering, how many of you would love to just hang up on them?
Yeah, you can say that.
Well, yeah, actually, I can say that because I'm just, you know, I've been having just problem after problem with them. I've been as patient as I can. Every time I call them, I seem to have to wait, and then I get transferred to another department, and then, you know, the person comes, and, you know, they're so nice. Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Vilches Nardone. We'll take care of that for you. Don't you worry. We love having you as a customer. And I'm like, thanks so much. And, you know, they do realize after I let them know that I did work for them for about, 6 or 7 years in my career when I was real young. And, we're so sorry, but we'll take care of this for you, and we'll make the adjustments. And here's your change order number to reflect those adjustments. And I'm like, thank you so much. They actually, after they put you through all the rigmarole that they put you through, they actually should have on board some kind of like onboard psychologist or psychiatrist to really help deal with what you're feeling, you know, how you're feeling afterwards, because it really is enough to give you a headache and just, you know, you're ready to scream. Actually, I was pretty much ready to just go out my front door and just scream, but then I thought, you know, the neighbors would probably freak. So anyway, after they took care of all this stuff for me and blah, 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 before, I had to call in today because I wanted to pay my bills. Something so, so easy. And, you know, I call in today and I go through the automated system, and they were supposed to make an adjustment because my bill was outrageous. And it was wrong, and it wasn't reflective of the right charges. This is actually for an internet bill. And, you know, I'm kind of being overdramatic here, but it's like, your balance is $100,000, you know? And I'm like, what? And so then I had to call the, you know, I called the one of the operators that was manning the service, customer service representatives. And then, of course, they're in a foreign country, you know, and so you have to deal with their accents and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they finally took care of it, but it just, you know, 30 minutes of my time today really to save me like $40, and it's such a big headache. How many of you have just gone through this? It's just enough to just drive you up a wall. And I just want to say no, and I think I'm ready to change carriers. I've just had it. It's just, you know, if it was just one thing, it would be okay. And where I live, I can't have regular internet, UVerse, because I'm too far away from the central office. So my internet service goes down like 4 times an hour. So it's enough to drive you wacko. And, you know, anyway, I'm here whining and crying. And I'm on my rant, and I just want you guys to feel so sorry for me. You know, I really do. And so, but it's like, it's almost as if when I call there, nobody really knows, you know, it's almost as if they can't hear you, you know? Well, they sure as heck don't see you, so they can't hear you, you know?
I can't hear you. I can't see you.
Exactly. So anyway, without further ado, all the way from Southern California, joining me tonight is Tracy Birdsall, and she's an award-winning model, an actress, and actually one of the most beautiful and talented actresses in the world. So we've got the honor of being able to have her on the show here tonight and talking about her modeling work and her career. And, you know, her career has gone, I mean, she's been on soap operas. She's been, again, was on Family Ties. She's got some really great things happening right now. So without further ado, all the way from Southern California, say hello to Tracy. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
Hey, Joey, I'm good. Thanks. I love that lead-in.
Well, and are you just are you calm now that I when I got on my rant, I was like, I don't want to go on this rant too long, but I mean, it's just I get sometimes when I get on a rant, I get people riled up, and it's not to get anybody riled up, but it, you know, it's just frustrating things in life. You know, life would be so much easier if everything was just easy, you know, and everything just worked easy, you know. That's how
I have a similar rant about the DMV, but we won't go there.
Oh, the DMV. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think really, my mind was wandering.
Yeah. The really good thing is you always have to find out from some good friends where the best DMV is. And I found one around here, mm-hmm. and it was like a miracle. I couldn't even believe it. But we're not here to talk about the DMV. We're not here to talk about hanging up on the phone company. We're here to talk about you and your career, your background, where you came from. You actually grew up, am I right in assuming that you grew up in Malibu growing up as a child? Is that right? Is that
No,
right?
I didn't get here until I was a teenager. I was actually born in Burbank. So
well,
it's kind of like really, yeah, it's not very not exciting when you're sitting there with a bunch of actors and you're working a new project. Everybody talks about where they're from. And everybody mm-hmm. has all these exciting stories on how they came to L.A. And they get to you and you go, Burbank. And they're like, oh, next. You know, it's like.
Oh, Burbank's a happening place.
It's a happening place. It's where I was, you know, I only lived there till I was almost nine. But, you know, I've always been kind of Southern California based, and then I've moved away for different projects, and then I always end up back here. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Now, were your parents involved in the business at all or not?
No, my parents not only weren't involved in the business. Well, my great-grandfather was Burt Lewis, so he was one of the original composers for Disney. But my parents, they supported me in, you know, singing and dancing and things like that, but they really didn't want me to be an actress. I think they just didn't feel like I had to be an actress. Like, they didn't see it the same way that I did, but ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be. So, but I remember my parents going, oh, no, you don't have to do that, you know. You're really smart. Go use your brain, you know. So it's like, no, I had to really kind of sneak around my parents to do it. I could do theater. And I could do some other things, but once I decided to start working professionally, like I had to, I don't know if I can say this on the air, but I had to forge my mom and dad's signature for my SAG stuff.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever works,
there you go.
Right? Yeah, whatever works.
You know, it ended up well, but if it hadn't ended up well, then it might not have been such a proud moment. But, you know, they're very proud of me now, but, you know, at first they were kind of like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah.
Now what do they say? Do they say things like in groups, oh, yeah, we always knew Tracy was going to be a great model and a great actress. We always knew. That's what. Or do they tell people really? Uh-huh.
Of course, no, then they're so proud. Like, I mean, my parents are my biggest fans, and they're always like, oh, we're so glad we had three children because I'm the youngest. And they say it to me every time I see them. And so mm-hmm. they're amazing, and they realize that I did it and that I felt that I had to do it to that degree because I had this very honest relationship with my parents, and yet I went behind mm-hmm. their backs. And so that was mm-hmm. kind of an interesting point for us, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about this a little before. You, interesting, we have kind of a similar background in that I used to sing as a young kid in church choirs and school choirs, mm-hmm. but in church choirs. And I understand you did too. So tell me a little bit about that.
I did. Well, when I was young, my parents, I went to a Presbyterian church, so of course I sang in their choir, and then I did a lot of solo singing and stuff, and and since I trained on the side for singing, it was just very much, you know, like a big deal to me. And then I went to a Lutheran school, so of course I joined their choir, and then I went to a Catholic school, and I joined their choir, but I never gave up the old ones, and I didn't have a driver's license yet, so I would ride my bike from place to place, and because I loved performing and I loved singing, and that's some of the little stage time that you get when you're younger, you know? So I just loved it, yeah. I loved Baptists the most because they had so much soul, you know?
But
I was never Baptist.
Right, but you haven't gone up to, you haven't encountered like a Pentecostal church yet, right? They're a little bit more, yeah, they're a little bit more wild than a Baptist, you know? They would probably be like... Yeah, they would be a little bit, you know, like, have you ever seen these black churches where they're all shouting and singing and jumping up and down, kind of something
like
that?
Yeah, actually, the Baptist church I went to was kind of like that.
Really?
When I got a little bit older, I needed to make ends meet because I was a single mom. And so I was doing print work and I was doing commercial work and I was, you know, looking for acting jobs and stuff. And I had this little child to feed. So I sang blues in clubs on Friday and Saturday nights, which I believe came from singing in the Baptist church. Yeah.
How cool is that? That's awesome. Yeah, that's
really
cool.
Yeah, it all ended up being cool on this end, but at the time it was kind of hit or miss, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I sing too, so I'm so appreciative of, you know, and I like, when I had my band, we used to do a few numbers that were blues, kind of a blues type of groove, and I always love doing that kind of sound. Let's talk about, then later on you get into modeling, right? So you get involved in modeling, and you do fairly well there. That was something that was successful for you. I'm trying to figure out how you transitioned into going from, you know, modeling into acting, and what really moved you to do that.
Well, I growing up, I mean, I not only sang in churches, but I did a lot of musicals and plays and things like that. Anytime that I could get on stage, you know, I tap danced and all these other things. And but I always loved acting. It was always like part of who I was. I mean, we used to hold little shows in the breezeway at my Burbank house when I was a kid, and I'd organize people and we'd get together and we'd become a band and we'd do little skits. And I was always David Cassidy because I had to be the lead. And, you know, so it was something where when you perform, you perform anywhere you can. And so I don't know that I ever had the transition, because I started out doing print work mostly for a magazine that used to be called Swimwear Illustrated. It's not around anymore, but I did a lot of swimwear when I was younger. And then that eventually branched, and then I went to work for Teeny Bikini, and then I did all their catalog and print work, and then it just kind of branched into doing, I did a ton of catalog work and just different ads and stuff like that. And then the very first job that I got professionally was a Sunkist soda commercial. And so that was when I got my union card. And, you know, they made those for 10 years, and they played for forever. So it kind of gave me a really nice, sturdy place to stand where I could go audition and I could do print work and I could do all these things. And I did that until I would say, you know, mid to late 20s. And then I just did the acting stuff because – you know, at that point in time, you're kind of washed up by the time you're getting towards 30 when you were doing print work. And so, you know, I just didn't think, and then all of a sudden there's been this resurgence over the last, you know, 8 years or so. So it's easy to get print work again. But so it was kind of just like going between things and seeing where the opportunities were and then jumping on those opportunities where they presented themselves, more so than making like a conscious decision. It was more so about, you know, where could I make the money and where was I getting hired, you know?
Do you ever have, I mean, this might be a weird question, but, and it's not supposed to be a creepy question, but do you ever ever get recognized? Like you might be walking somewhere and somebody recognizes you from those Teeny Bikini type of ads, you know, type of catalog. I mean, does that ever happen to you?
You know, rarely. Oh, more so where I live, because I live where all that stuff was based. So So everybody here kind of knows me from that time. But I get recognized for the weirdest things sometimes. But it's usually, it's funny because if it's not film or a role or TV or a role, quite often it's commercial because they're in front of their faces all the time. Like my current commercials, you know, I have three of them, and they're all for stamps.com. And it drives you nuts when that's what people are commenting on. Do you know what I mean? But So it's really what you have going on at that time, and it's rarely what you had going on from before. And when it's what you had going on from before, it's quite often people that are quite a bit older than you are. And so they were paying – isn't that funny? So they're paying really close attention, and their memories are really strong, and you're kind of like, oh, wow, I can't believe you remember that. Yeah. But and soap opera, you're forever that character. So they you know, they'll call you by that name. I mean, so it's really kind of interesting. But so, yeah, it's random. It's random.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it always – what you just told me kind of reminds me, isn't it kind of funny when you have a following of any sort, and people know this, of anything that people do where you're being followed and admired. And, you know, somebody runs into you, and they may have their kids or whatever, and they're like, oh, I remember you when I was so young. And you look at them, and they look like they're like 150 years old, you know, and you're like.
And you're like, this is impossible.
Exactly. It's like, I'm sorry. Are you mixing me up with somebody? I'm sorry. I don't sense a connection here. You know, and that's kind of funny, you know. Yeah, but I think that they probably recall a time in their life when they were a little bit younger, you know. Obviously not when they were, you know, like teenagers or anything like that. That's kind of funny.
It is funny. It's all just so random. I could never put my finger on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this year you won, well, the 2014 Maverick Award at the Action on Film Festival. So I guess what I want to know is what this festival is about, and has this award opened up some doors for you?
Well, the Action on Film Festival, it used to be mostly action films, and it's been around for about 10 years now, and so and they're pretty amazing. They really are. They're, you know, when you go to this thing, it just goes on forever, and there's some really great talent there, really great names, really great films. And so to be recognized with the Maverick Award, it's basically for, like, my contribution in the film industry and the names that I was recognized, you know, the other people who have won it over the years, you know, the Michael Madsen and David Carradine and, you know, I mean, it's just Talia Shire. I mean, it just goes on. And so it was kind of shocking to me. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm actually getting an honorary award rather than just winning something, you know. And so it kind of took me aback, I'd say, for about a month. I had to kind of file that away. And I'd say what it did is it made more people pay attention to my work. It made them know more of what I was about and know more about, like, the preparation I put into things and how seriously I take it. And so, yeah, I mean, actually this one company that I'm doing a film for in May comes directly from that, and I may be doing three pictures with them. So I just got the third script from them. Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where if – you know, it's one of those industries where you have to go into it without looking for recognition. And when somebody recognizes you, you know, gives you recognition, you're kind of surprised by it. And then you do see a difference in how people perceive you, maybe not like, you know, your friends and neighbors, but other professionals within the industry. So I haven't had any spare time ever since that happened, I'll tell you that. So,
well, so that's kind of a good thing, right?
It's a great
thing.
Don't
you think?
Yeah, I don't like spare time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we
just wrapped
the film last week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We just wrapped a science fiction film last week, so.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to talk to you about some things that you've just recently, well, or that you recently, I believe, two films that were screened this year, I think, if I remember correctly here. And so one was a supernatural film, Dawn of the Crescent Moon. And then there was another film that maybe perhaps you can tell us about. But I guess my question to you is, having done acting, and I know how you have to get so into the role, et cetera. But, you know, when I think of you know, I don't know. When I think of, like, supernatural films, a lot of times, you know, it just kind of creeps me out. It's almost like this, this type of sound. You know, I mean, it just, it's creepy, you know? It's just, and I don't know how, as an actor, how you really, you know, delve into that. And on top of that, when you do, because I've talked to many people about this that have done movies, supernatural movies, and they're like, oh my God, you won't believe some of the creepy things that happen on the set, or, you know, or blah, blah, blah. So I kind of want to know, what made you get a desire to do something like that? Was it kind of creepy to you? And did you have any weird things happen during the filming?
Well, I basically took on this film. First of all, I liked the script, but second of all, I knew the producer and the director. And so they had asked me if I'd do this project, and of course when I read the script, they'd named the character Tracy just in case I didn't see which role they wanted me to play. And it was spelled like mine, which is an EY, which is very, you know, it's like the old masculine way of spelling Tracy. So it was kind of funny when I got it. I mean, I really couldn't say no to these guys. I've known them for a long time, and it was their big stab at making a horror supernatural film. And then, of course, Barry Corbin got hired, and of course, I would love to work with Barry Corbin, and which we actually used him in our last film too. Yeah, but I don't know if it creeps me out. I mean, there's a lot of things in it that are, you know, they're creepy, but they're not creepy until post. You know, there were a couple things, like when they have the guardians, which are kind of the creepy guys in the movie, and they have them kind of coming out of everywhere, and they're kind of surrounding you, and that was pretty creepy, because it was late at night in this very, very, very small town, and I forget what that noise is. It's not locust, but it's like this weird beetle that makes these weird sounds. And so, yeah, so that was pretty creepy, but most of all, it was just a ton of fun. I mean, the people were a ton of fun, and I hung out with Barry the whole week, and just, like, that guy is a kick. I just love him. And, you know, we started shooting late, and we worked really late, and then we stayed up really late. So it was just a ton of fun. This little town of 264 people, you know, just
where did you guys actually film it?
We filmed it in Fayetteville, Texas. And it's like a square. The town's like this square. It's literally like, you know, a couple blocks each way with a little park in the middle. You know, that's it. Yeah, so it was really interesting. There's one bar and one restaurant and one bed and breakfast where, you know, all the key cast stayed. And yeah, it was really, really quite fun though. So
wow, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, it's kind of cool when you're in these little little towns. Or I don't know, like we have a few out here where Charlie Chaplin used to film some of his films many, 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 many years ago. But just going into these little communities, it's just so different. It's like nothing.
It's surreal. It's surreal. You can't put your finger
word.
On it.
Yeah,
it's so different. Nothing's the same. Yeah.
So now, outside of the creepiness of the locust thing, that would be, or whatever they were.
It was just so loud and so creepy. Yeah.
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 Was there any other weird things that happened during the taping or?
There were things I can't talk about that were funny.
Oh.
There were a couple of disasters that were hilarious, but I know. I wish I could talk about some of them, but I can't.
Yeah, but you can't.
But
okay.
I'm sure it was pretty creepy with the kids by the lake, but we weren't by the lake. We were in the bar weaving the story. So I'm sure that, you know, one of the other cast members might have some great. But you know, I didn't really hear anything. You know, yeah, it's a very creepy place, but it's cool at the same time. You know.
So tell us what's going to happen with this movie. Do you know? Dawn of the Crescent Moon.
I know that they have distribution on it. I know that they were going between three different companies on it. So I don't know which one they've settled on, but but I know that that'll be out there. I'm sure that it'll pop back every Halloween for the rest of our lives because it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to see? Now, you went to, of course, you went to some of these festivals where it was screened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell me what that, and for some of our listeners, what that is like at a film festival. When you see a work that you put so much time in, and it's an independent film, and it's at one of these festivals, tell the listeners what that's like. That must be just an awesome feeling. It's probably quite different than what a lot of people encounter.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool, and what was really neat this particular time was I'd gone to the premiere of Dawn of the Crescent Moon in Houston, and then
mm-hmm.
I went to the opening night of it at the festival. But the same night, Do You Like Your Balls, which is a comedy that I was in, and I have this outrageously funny character that I play in that, which is completely different than the other character, and they played them back to back. So
mm-hmm.
for me, that was just such a fun thing because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're just so completely different. And I love filming things like that. I love filming things where the dichotomy between the two, there's just not any crossover.
Uh-huh.
And so that's really fun when something comes out like that back to back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So you do as many short films as you do feature films. And so a lot of, you know, like you take a lot of big artists, do short films. Why do you think that might be? Why do you think that is? Is it is it perhaps because they can lead to bigger films?
Well,
what are your thoughts
here's
on that?
The thing, and over my lifetime, I've done quite a few shorts, but over the last decade, I've done two. So, Do You Like Your Balls, the short, is it's a piece out of a full-length feature film that they originally shot in order to get the funding on it, and
mm-hmm.
it's called Going Very Badly. And this is, like, one of the funniest scripts I've ever read. Riza Riazi wrote it, and when I got this, I mean, I'm a raunchy guy humor fan. I mean, I love, you know, Hall Pass, Hangovers, any of those things. And I read this film, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to play this character. And
uh-huh.
so, I didn't know originally that they were going to shoot part of it as a short. And still to this day, they haven't made the feature, which I just think is such a shame because it's really, really funny. But the short was fabulous in itself. So that's why I did that. I did that, you know, as a hope that they would get their financing because I originally auditioned for it as a feature. And
uh-huh.
then TikTok, which was the other short that I did, and that one won awards all over. I also produced that one. And the reason I did that was because I'd taken, like, time off. I decided, you know, it used to be that they didn't have roles for people once you kind of got over 30, unless you were Meryl Streep or Helen Mirren. And so I, you know, decided to, you know, go and I kind of retired. I sold my production company. I moved down to Rancho Santa Fe, and I took some time off, and my hobby is building houses, so I just started working on houses, and my friends kept working. There were a few of my friends that were still working, and so I kind of
mm-hmm.
looked over my shoulder, and I thought, shoot, everybody's working till they're, you know, really, really, I mean, look at Betty White, right? Everybody's working for forever now, so I kind of hightailed it back
yet.
Here.
Come on now. You're not even 30 yet.
You know what? My goal in life is to be the oldest actress alive, and that's going to take a lot of decades to get there. But I love
mm-hmm.
working, and I'll never retire again.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
Your point about Betty White, she's a great, great example of somebody who, what is she, 93 or whatever she is, and she's just doing really awesome. She's doing wonderful.
She's
so
fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, God bless
amazing.
Her. I mean, that's a great thing. So, listen, I'm going to take a real quick break here, and
sure.
And we'll be right back with you, folks. We are with Tracy Birdsall, actress, award-winning model and actress, and so I'm just going to take time right now to let you know once again that you have joined the Joey on Live from the Bay with Joey, and we are talking to Tracy Birdsall. So we will be back with Tracy in a few minutes. In the meantime, I want you to enjoy just a little bit of some trance music. folks. We're back with Tracy Birdsall, award-winning model and actress. And I hope she is there. Tracy, are you there? You know what? We have something happening in the studio right now. Stay right there, Tracy. Don't leave. We'll get this rectified really soon. But we're having a really great conversation with Tracy Birdsall, calling us all the way from Southern California. And she's had an illustrious career, starting off with modeling and then going into acting. And so we're really excited having the opportunity to speak to her about her career and some new projects that she has on board right now. And so, again, you probably remember her from her modeling or family ties, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about that as well. And in the meantime, I want to make sure that you folks definitely share this program with those that are close to you, family members, and those that remember Tracy, have seen Tracy, and I'm sure they're going to get a real good, they'll be blessed by hearing this show. And again, it's always important to spread that word. And if you use social media at all, be sure to get the word out on this show, on Tracy, and on her work that she's doing. And again, in 2014, she walked away with a Maverick Award this year for her performance in the new thriller, Dawn of the Crescent Moon. So, again, we just are so jazzed to have her with us this evening. And we are having some technical issues in the studio, and hopefully we've gotten those rectified. And Tracy, I think you're back here with us, aren't you?
I am. I'm here. I'm dying to know what's going on over there, though.
Oh, my gosh. The whole system went down. But anyway, I think it was, it was that song. it was that trance song. It was enough to, I think it shut down my whole system. It was like, yes.
You should have just had me sing while I'm on your break. I just would have sang a song or something.
That's it. One of your choir songs, perhaps.
There you go.
So anyway, I'd like to go back to, there's one thing I wanted to know. You don't seem to like to pigeonhole yourself. So doing comedy, drama, horror, but is there one that you would prefer?
Well, I like it all. But one of the things I always wanted to do, and I told you we just wrapped a science fiction film, is I grew up a science fiction junkie as a kid.
Uh-huh.
We all sat up late and watched Star Trek and, Star Wars and everything that was on. And I'd never gotten to do it. I'd auditioned a lot, but I'd never booked anything. And so I just played this really badass character in this film that we did. So I'm very, very excited. It's called At the Edge of Time, because that was kind of a genre that I hadn't experienced. I hadn't done it. But between everything, I always like to go back and do a comedy. It's like I love deep drama. I love all these different things. And then I want to go laugh, because to me, comedy is like music. It's like dancing.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
So easy. And it's so fun. And you just, every day, no matter what's going on in your life, is a dance, and it's just the people you meet and the personalities. So right now, this comedy was supposed to do in March is now in May. So at least it's still out there, and I'm excited about it. But I'm super excited because the script's so funny, and I just can't wait to become that and to live that.
Right. That's awesome. So. Now, I'm also wondering, and I'm sure some of the listeners would like to know, how did you get into TV and film? Was there somebody that really kind of just opened the door for you? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but not in depth. But was there like one person that maybe really kind of opened up a door that
You know, I wish. You know, I'm kind of one of those people that, like, I kind of crawled my way in and didn't give up and just kept learning and training and persisting. And luckily, I'm really, really smart. So I think that helped. It's like I was always trying to think of another angle and another. But no, I really paid my dues and just really kind of worked through it. And then I didn't come into my own, like, right away. I was a late bloomer. So, you know, I think then I came into my own, and then everything kind of fell into place, and then it's just kind of, you know, kept going since then. Like, I haven't been to an audition in so long now because I have too many things. Not too many. I won't say too many, but I have a full plate, you know. So it's like, but I'm just so happy to be at that point again. I've been at that point before in my life, and I'm at that point again. But no, I really had to grovel and work and, you know, it just really, really, because, I mean, I grew up in L.A. I grew up in a place with blonde hair and blue eyes. And how many blonde hair, blue-eyed actresses do you think I was up against all the time? A lot. You know, it's like, and you talk about your doppelgangers. I had a gazillion of them. Now, the nice thing is as you get a little bit older, you have fewer and fewer, and you have fewer people that stick with it and stuff like that. So if you work even harder and you train even harder and you work harder on your roles and your auditions and everything, then the world kind of opens up a little bit, which is really nice.
Yeah, that is very, very nice, right? I want to go back in time a little bit. Tell us about what it was like to work on a show like Family Ties.
It's funny because everybody always asks that.
Okay, then I won't ask it. Let's go on to something else.
No, it's okay. I'll answer it. I'll just answer it in a different way. at the time, it was kind of earth-shattering because it was, you know, a TV sitcom and, you know, you work really hard to get on those things. And, you know, everybody was so nice and they were so welcoming and you kind of expect it to be a little different. And then you have multicam going on, which you've trained for it, but you haven't actually shot it. So it's a little, you know, you're a little more naive, you know, when you're younger. And so it's like, it was exhilarating, you know, and the people were so cool and stuff like that. But you know, looking back on it, I could easily forget all of that, and I could easily go, "Oh, it was pretty cool," you know. But it wasn't. It was at the time. It was you know, earth shattering. So to be honest, you know, now you walk into a comedy set and it's just, you know, like I say, it's like rhythm. You know, you're like, "Oh," you know. But at the time, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you remember about how many episodes you were on? Or
yeah, I was on exactly one.
Okay.
On exactly one. And I remember everything about it. You know, it's funny because we shoot these things and we remember our scenes and our lines, remember everything. Everything reminds us of it. And that still pops up. But that was basically my first sitcom. So,
isn't that,
you know,
but it's so cool, isn't it, to be part of something like that. And then a lot of those people, a lot of the characters, a lot of those actors and actresses are still, you know, you hear about today. Michael J. Fox, Meredith Baxter.
They're still relevant.
You know, so that's kind of... let's take a look at this industry. Do you think that there's been a huge change in the last 20 to 30 years?
Huge. Yeah, it's completely different. I mean, it used to be if you had a great agent, which I had a fantastic agent when I was younger, and they could get you in, you know, just about any doors, and you had generals, you know, you'd go sit down and talk to casting directors and they weren't even casting. Now, if they're casting something, they put it out there and thousands of people can submit for it. You know, so it's still having a good agent or manager is super important because they can get you in. Like I do a lot of pilot reads usually, like in the beginning of the season and stuff like that. And so you can't get into those things on your own. Those don't pop up on the casting sites. But basically, you know, the world's opened up electronically. There aren't careers riding around on their bicycles walking your headshots in anymore, you know, and your VHS tapes. So it's much more competitive. But it's also, you know, the other thing is the actors only train for auditioning. They don't train for roles. And so the auditioning process can be really tough. And but then those same people can't necessarily perform once they get there. So I think getting a reputation about yourself out there, which luckily I've done, is like the most important thing.
Absolutely. And I think you hit on one good point. I've seen, you know, some people that I've seen that are actors and actresses now, some young ones, and I don't mean any disrespect, But I'm thinking to myself, really? You know, how is that? I mean, I don't...
Because, yeah, it makes so much sense to me now. Because everybody trains for auditioning. You look at all the teachers that are out there, you know, trying to sell their services, and it's there are all these audition classes. But what are you going to do once you leave the audition if you don't have, like, real-world experience, you know, to pull out of your characters and to just really live that life? I mean, because it's a whole different ball game than auditioning. You know?
Right, right. And then you find out how much they make, and you're like, they made what? You know, and they can't, you know, it's just amazing to me. And some of them really think that they're great actors and actresses. I've heard some of these interviews and I'm just going, my gosh, really? You know, but that makes sense now. I mean, you know, if you don't have the experience, you don't have real world experience. Well, you're going to learn it, you know, somehow by being out there, you will learn, hopefully. But it may take a little. It may take a little bit of time. Now, I know you. I understand you have a daughter. Would you encourage your daughter to get into acting or modeling?
Well, I actually have three kids, and my two oldest kids. They grew up, you know, in the industry and worked in the industry, but neither one of them really wanted to do it once they grew up. Although now my oldest daughter is kind of getting the bug again. My youngest daughter. She's been in several things that she kind of ended up in because I was in them, and then somebody's like, oh, my gosh, we have to use Stevie for this. But it's not really her cup of tea, yet she's really good at it, and she's really quirky, and so she keeps getting kind of dragged back in it. But none of my kids, I would say, have that thing that I have where it's like, I really don't want to do anything else. You know, it's like I'll do anything because this is my life. And
it's your passion, right?
Exactly, and I had that feeling ever since I was really, really little.
Right.
So I know that it's part of what's, you know, ingrained in you from a really young age. Yeah.
Right, right. Now, I understand that you've moved into producing. Is that true? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I started producing in the late 90s, and the first feature that I produced actually went to Cannes. So, you know, that was pretty cool. And then, you know, so I've helped produce things, but I've only produced things on my own a few times. And then TikTok, which I told you that other short that I did, I produced that because I'd taken 6 years off and I came back and, you know, people had changed jobs and changed agencies and died and retired. And, and I was like, oh, shoot, they're not sitting here waiting for me, you know. So I produced that in order to kind of put myself back in the game, back on the market. Try to get on the maps, and I produced the very best short that I could at the time, and it worked. You know, it kind of got me back out there, got me back relevant, got my name back out there, and I encourage people to do that. It's a lot easier than going out and auditioning for roles, you know. But I love producing.
Now I'm gonna ask you a question. Hopefully, this question hasn't been asked, but let's. I'm going to make you think here. If, just looking over your career, if, say, you were only allowed to do this for another 5 years, just say, you know, there was a kibosh put on, you had to go and do something else as we progress in years. And so somebody came up to you and said, Tracy, we're going to give you one, say a genie appeared in front of you. I said, Tracy, I'm going to give you one wish in the industry. What is it that you would love to do that you have not done yet? What would that be?
Well, 2 months ago it would have been Died, because I finally got to die in my last feature, and I never get to die. Yeah, I would say I know it was, and I went down in style too. I have to tell you, I think I milked this thing for all it was worth. So when you see
That's
at the
great.
Edge of time and you get to see me die, you'll be like, okay, she put everything she knew into that death. So
that's fun. Okay.
Really, and then they gave me blood, and they're like, well, do you want some in your mouth? I'm like, yeah, I want a ton of it. I mean, I just wanted to, like, make this huge scene, and it was really, really awesome.
Well, that's funny.
I know. But I think being something really odd in a major lead role, like Charlize Theron in Monster, or you know, a bald alien in a science fiction movie, you know, something just to try those untapped things inside of your mind, something that I haven't been, and really my whole life I've said, oh, I just want to die. And I finally got to do that. So that would have been my
That's
answer
awesome.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, you don't have any of this great desire to be, like, in this huge film with one of these leading men or any, you know, like, George Clooney or, say, Brad Pitt or, well, I don't know about Brad Pitt.
You know, I have people that I really want to work with. I would love to work with Meryl Streep. Anybody would. I'd love to work
okay.
with Sean Penn. I know him from the gym. I mean, he's just, I think he's incredible.
Well, he used to live here in the Bay Area, you know.
Oh, okay. Did not
yeah,
know
he
that.
Used to live
oh, yeah,
in Marin
he did
County.
When he was with Robin. Yeah,
he used
that's
to live
true.
In Marin County, yeah.
Yeah, but I think
so
but I think that you can't take those things any less seriously than you do
mm-hmm.
the independents. But yeah, I mm-hmm. mean, being a lead in a huge budget picture,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not only, you know, could I easily, you know, handle it? But I mean, yeah, that's a dream. But it isn't
yeah.
a dream that I don't think will happen. It's something, you know, it's one of the things still yet to check off on the list. But I've been checking them off so rapidly
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's a fun ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm an avid believer. I really am an avid believer. Maybe this will kind of encourage you in visualization, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, and I'm not trying to go into an esoteric portion of my show, but I'm just, you know, I do believe in visualizing things that have not happened yet, as we know it in this realm.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, I think doors open because your mind, it's been scientifically proven, your mind doesn't know the difference between what
mm-hmm.
is really actually has transpired and what you're expecting or you see down the road. And if you act as if it's already happened, your mind doesn't know the difference. And I did this one time years ago when I wanted to be in a film with Penelope Cruz. I did it for probably, and I did it when I actually went to release an album as well, one of my first albums out of Nashville. And I visualized these things. And about 2 weeks after I visualized that I was working with Penelope Cruz on a movie, I was called by an agent about 2 weeks later in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me, this is when she started her work here in the United States from Spain. And they said, we're doing this film with this new actress, and
mm-hmm.
she's going to be playing this Brazilian girl. Would you be interested? And they said, you probably don't know who she is, but she's very famous in her country.
Mm-hmm.
I said, who is it? And they said, Penelope Cruz. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm right there. So,
right.
You know, I think those things, I think when we envision things like that, why not? You know, you never know what doors will
mm-hmm.
open up to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know
well,
what can.
Yeah, and, you know, I never thought that I'd receive an honorary award either. And so when that happened,
mm-hmm.
and then getting to be in the science fiction film, I'd say I have no blockades on my thought process.
Right.
And
right.
I will tell you, and I'm liable to get hacked after this, so I'm going to have to change all my passwords. But but one thing that I do is I have, like, different awards and different
mm-hmm.
things in life that I'd like to achieve,
mm-hmm.
and I use them as my
mm-hmm.
passwords. So, like,
mm-hmm.
all day long I have to retype them, and I've done this for, I don't know, 7, 8 years.
Oh, that's
and
fine.
There's always different variations on
oh.
like my biggest dreams that I yet wouldn't utter, and I think that it really I think that there's power in that, you know, there's
wow.
power because you're making it part of your reality.
Wow, you know, I've
yeah.
never ever heard that. That is really amazing. Now, see, I've changed all my passwords to just one password so I remember it because I tend to forget. And then I went to the ATM
mm-hmm.
one time and I entered in, you know, like my social security numbers, my password. I was like, this doesn't work. That's wrong. And, you know, and then I was like, okay, we need to just go with one easy password for all things. But, you know, I really, thank you for sharing that. I think now I will go back and change some of my passwords to issue things that I want to.
Because then you don't even. I think it's actually more than visualization. It's part of your reality.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's funny.
Well, listen,
I actually believe in it.
We need to wrap this up, but I want you to let people, if people want to get in touch with you, is there a website and a way that they can get in touch with you, Tracy?
Absolutely. My website is www.tracybirdsall.com, and that's TraceyBirdsall.com. And there are links on there to Facebook, IMDb, Twitter, I believe LinkedIn, and I need to update my website. I've been so busy working that I haven't updated my website in about a month and a half, I think, maybe a month, but I will get on that this week. Yeah, because I have, like, links to all the different magazines and things like that off of that.
Awesome.
So,
Do you tend to use one social media over the other, or no?
I like Twitter, and I really like Instagram. Yeah, but it's so funny. I have all these stills of this new film and all these things, and I really haven't taken the time. I'm usually much better about it, but I've just been so busy. But I'm going to be inundating everything very soon here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Twitter too because it's fast. And
it is.
It's a little bit different than Facebook.
So, yeah, you know, and you know what I like Instagram with is you can be a little more behind the scene, a little sillier, a little raunchier at times. You can put stuff out that you wouldn't normally put out on a bigger platform, and nobody holds it against you, and they kind of, you know, they kind of laugh. You know, at least I think.
Well, that's nice. That's always good to know. Okay, Instagram it is, next for me. Yeah.
There goes my Instagram, right?
Yeah, I was big on Twitter for a long time, and then people were telling me, oh, you need to get on Facebook. And I'm like, I'm not going to get on Facebook. And then once I started buying stock in Facebook, I thought, you know what, maybe I should at least try it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm on Facebook all the time and have forgotten about Twitter. So it's just something that but, you know, there are things that really have opened up a world for people that we didn't have before. So saying that, I thank you so much for joining us on live. And, again, it's www.tracybirdsall, TraceyBirdsall.com. .com, right?
.com. You got it perfect. Thank you very
much.
All right.
Thank you so much. And Tracy, thank you for joining us all the way from Southern California. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. And folks, again, make sure you pass this show on, like I had said, when our system went down, thanks to my techno music. Whatever it was. What was it? Trance music? My system completely went into a trance. But anyway, I had mentioned to, you know, make sure you just tell your friends and neighbors, really get that word around about Tracy's show. And, you know, you can always put it out there on Twitter as we do, retweet it. If you use Facebook, make sure you do that. And again, her website is www.TracyBirdsall.com. And all of her links to Twitter, Facebook, etc. are there. Instagram are there. So make sure you follow her. Okay? Again, folks, it's been a joy to be with you. And make sure you keep staying tuned to our upcoming shows. So without further ado, this is Joey wishing you a great, great rest of your day, wherever you may be, whether it's here in the United States, Canada, Europe, Australia, mate, or wherever else. So we wish you the best. Keep in touch. Blessings. And until the next time, take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.